This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
As we progress further in our digital transformation journey, one of the areas that seems to play an important role is not the technology, but the people. Getting the right talent and preparing the current workforce for our digital dream is vital. The Finance Accreditation Agency, or the FAA, is an independent quality assurance and accreditation body for the financial services industry, or FSI, set up by Bank Negara Malaysia and also the Securities Commission of Malaysia. Their task is to ensure the quality and learning developments of the talent pool within the rapidly growing financial or fintech sector. And with me today is Khairul Nizam. He's the CEO of FAA. Khairul, probably we can start a little bit of background on FAA itself. Like, how did this all came about?
Right. Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. We were set up, as you said, by Central Bank of Malaysia and Securities Commission. We are here to support the overall human capital development for financial services industry, or FSI, as you said. We do it in a few different ways. One, we do it through providing that quality assurance services on training programs, academic programs relating to finance. We do that through assessing, evaluating programs, training programs on and academic programs, looking at both the structure of those programs as well as the contents of those programs. We do that ultimately to ensure that the programs that are offered for financial services industry is of good quality, so that we all in financial services industry can really discharge our responsibilities well. Mm-hmm. The second area of work that we do is on competency assessment or competency accreditation. We look at specific job functions in some cases in financial services industry. We work with banks, financial institutions, insurance companies to really explain to everyone what are the competencies, what competencies are required, are necessary for specific job functions in some cases, or for all functions. We then work with banks and insurance companies and industry bodies to carry out the competency assessment. And if we feel that the competencies that are required are not where they should be, we then work with those institutions to develop the competency development pathways, the learning pathways, ways and means how to gain those competencies and keep up enhancing our competencies in financial services. Mm.
So that was about 6 years ago when the FAA came about then?
Yes, FAA was set up around 6 years ago.
And the focus of fintech started 6 years ago, or did it then sort of realize, hey, hang on a minute, this fintech thing, because fintech is, it may be new for some, but it's been around since probably the ATM, you could say.
Exactly. Even 6 years ago, the advances in technology, innovations in technology have already started. The speed of progress, if you like, in terms of technological advances, in terms of technological innovation, has really picked up. But fintech as an area has always been a major part of the financial services. Yes.
And so where I would like to then dig in, because you do work within the fintech space for banks and stuff. So where is fintech heading then, in your opinion, based on, you know, the pool that we have, the talent pool that we have? Where is fintech moving towards, especially here in Malaysia?
Let me focus a bit on the talent management side of fintech, if I may. For banks and insurance companies, financial institutions in general, they all, most of them will have some, will have developed some initiatives relating to fintech, relating to financial technology, adopting financial technology into the operations and so on. We've also got new entrants, if you like, the non-banks, the, you know, the true fintech players, if you like. So for the traditional, if you like, financial institutions, the banks, the big banks, the insurance companies, and so on, their digital and fintech strategy will continue to include talent management, talent development portion to it. They are banking as a whole, financial services as a whole, is becoming more highly specialized. Therefore, skills relating to compliance, for example, skills relating to risk management, and even sales and marketing, those skills have those functions are becoming more highly specialized and even require even greater competencies and greater skills than before. With fintech, with technology, with digital innovation, and so on, what we're seeing is the and everything, of course, is driven, if you like, by the shift in consumer or customer demography, the change, the shifts in consumer preferences, and so on. So we're seeing a lot of process re-engineering. We're seeing a lot of trend in perhaps new products, new services, new ways of delivering those products and services, new delivery channels, and so on. Ultimately, there's going to be a lot of process re-engineering that's going to take place. So for talent, in terms of talent, there are a few key points. One, the core competencies in relating to financial intermediation, we need to keep at it. We need to make sure that we are strong in those key competencies so that we can then take advantage of the technological advances to re-engineer the product and services, to re-engineer the processes, and all this ultimately, as I said, to suit the change in consumer preferences and consumer demography. So that is one. In terms of fintech in general, though, and financial technology in general, things like data analysis, data management, cyber securities. In some ways, we've been managing data for a long time, of course, within the financial services industry. But the issues relating to data management and data analysis are going to get more complex. We do need to enhance our skills, I think, as an industry on managing our data properly and managing the sharing of data, if sharing of data is something that banks want to do with you know, the aggregators and other banks and fintech players too. And data management, as with everything else in life, a lot of data is now being stored, if you like, in cloud services and so on. Therefore, the security relating to data, cybersecurity is going to be more complex, and we need to make sure that we do have the competencies to respond to the evolving nature of technology.
Is it the lack of skills in this area? Because, like you mentioned, data management and all this cybersecurity stuff is not something completely new, especially to the banking sector. And if we look into 2018 itself, we see a lot of enterprises, whether it's the small ones, whether it's the non-banking players, they are clearly driving forwards in their business, using the right people, the right talent. But in the banking sector, it seems like they don't have the right skills to move into this sector. Is it not having the right skills or not having the right people joining them? Or like what's going on? Because a lot of people are using the cloud and we see a lot of people creating cloud services and they clearly understand how it works.
Yes, I think in the banking, the financial services, we do have perhaps adequate skills and talent for that. What is important is for us to keep enhancing our skills. The way we manage cloud services, the way we manage data today, will probably be different in the way we will manage data in 5 years, 3 years' time, 3 years' time even. So it is important for all of us to keep abreast, of course, about all these technological advances, but to make sure that we have the prerequisite, the necessary skills to manage those changes. One thing that we need to bear in mind too, skills relating to technology, skills relating to data management will be required not only within financial services, but also other segments of the economy.
Yeah.
And perhaps even more segments of the economy will require more skill sets relating to data management and technology in general in the future. We are seeing that trend already, of course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So as a country too, we need to make sure that there's enough talent relating to all that. And for financial services, we need to make sure that we are able to compete for those talent.
Mm. Yeah, and also because the banking sector is one that's highly regulated, and you know we know it's dealing with you know large sums of money as well, right?
That's
and
right.
That's why it's higher risk.
That's right.
Than compared to you know an SME who's creating a cloud service and stuff. Not to say that there isn't risk in there, but it's a different challenge with the banking sector.
Yes,
regulations and you know legislations and stuff. Right?
Yes, yes, you are very right. And in some countries, perhaps more advanced economies, they are thinking about really ways to make sure not only ways to allow banks, for example, to share data with. The likes of fintech companies, the non-bank fintech companies, the likes of aggregator and so on, not only to allow that, but to compel them to share the data. If that is the way that, if that is necessary for us to compete with other economies, if that is necessary for us to ultimately serve our customers really well, therefore, we then really need to find a good skill set. We really need to prepare ourselves for that perhaps eventuality, at least a possibility.
I'm speaking to Khairul Nizam, the CEO of Finance Accreditation Agency, or FAA, and we'll continue our discussion in just a moment. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Building First World Mindsets. BFM 89.9.
I'm back. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and with me today is Khairul Nizam, the CEO of FAA, or better known as the Finance Accreditation Agency. We're talking about the happenings in the fintech space and what is FAA doing in this area. Khairul, continuing from where we left off, there are changes then that needs to be made in the fintech space, whether it's policy or legislation. One of the ways to go about these changes is having a sandbox to test what works and what doesn't and how to go about in bringing these new platforms to the market. And since you deal with talents, do you do anything with the Bank Negara sandbox?
Well, we've not actually done a lot of work with in relating FAA as an institution, as an agency of Central Bank of Malaysia and SC in supporting human capital development. We've not had we didn't go into the sandbox, if you like. But we know and we've been discussing a few things with entities that have had the opportunity to go into that sandbox. There are some fintech companies that have tried out their products, tried out their platform through the sandbox. And what we're doing is trying to find whether there are any talent management issues, really skill issues, that will allow fintech companies to grow even more.
Mm-hmm.
So far, what we have seen, maybe there are some skill sets relating to, for example, credit analysis, investment analysis, not so much on the technology part of it, but on the core competencies, as I mentioned earlier. For example, crowdfunding platforms, P2P platforms, they do have the necessary technological skill sets, if you like. But the parts that perhaps need to be supported are the non-technology parts. If you do P2P platform to do debt financing, if you do crowdfunding platform to do equity financing, for example, those platforms will still need to carry out some level of investment analysis, some level of credit analysis in determining whether the potential investee companies are sort of worthy of investment or worthy of getting the financing. A lot of those skills are there within financial institutions, within banks, within investment banks, and so on. The challenge is to make sure there's enough skills to be shared amongst the traditional banks, the investment banks, and also the P2P platforms, the crowdfunding platforms, and so on. Mm.
So clearly, you know, whether it's fintech or any other new technology with AI and all that, it comes down to the people itself. And so clearly you play a very crucial role, whether it's, you know, with the banks or with the insurance companies that you provide. But how are you keeping up with the changes in the industry? As you mentioned, it's moving so fast.
Right. So the work that we do, as I mentioned, is to the main work that we do is on accrediting, evaluating, assessing training programs. Content of training programs will change over time, will need to change over time, depending on regulations, but in terms of technology, depending on the changes in technology. But whatever training programs that you do, whatever content of training programs that you would like to offer, what is important, I think, is the structure of the training program. Mm. Right? We all need to be very clear, and this is the major work that we do with all the training institutions, banks, and so on too, that in any training programs, you need to look at the proper structure. You need to look at really what are the key competencies that you as a training provider would like to would like the training participants to have at the end of the training programs. Looking at that, how do you then structure the training programs? If you break it down into modules, for example, then for each module, what are the specific learning outcomes, learning objectives of those modules, and how all those learning outcomes and learning objectives, how those modules then support the overall key competencies that you want. Mm-hmm. So that is the structure. That is the structure, and the most of the work that we do, a lot of the work that we do with training institutions, with banks, and so on, is to get the structure right. If you get the overall structure right, the foundation, if you like, the foundation right, content can then be translated quite more effectively into proper training programs. At the same time, too, we do a lot of work in terms of competency analysis, competency benchmarking, and so on. A lot of the competencies that we use for our work, that we look at in carrying our work, are relating to the core competencies, the technical competencies, credit analysis, and so on and so forth. We also look at competencies relating to how perceptive are you in innovation, how ready are you for changes, leadership competencies in terms of technology, leadership competencies in terms of innovation, and so on and so forth. If we get all those right, I think we'll be in a very good position to take advantage of the technology rather than be afraid of the technology. Mm.
So Malaysia clearly wants to at least be a leader in this space, or at least we plan to, or we aspire to be a regional hub in the fintech space. So where are we now in this journey? 6 years on, you know, the FFA, you know, came about. You've obviously trying to help to get people to understand better, to learn better. Mm. Where are we at this stage now?
In terms of talent, I think we do have, as I mentioned earlier, probably sufficient talent. But as you mentioned, the regional integration, the international integration of financial services is going to get more intense. The competition within the region is going to get more intense too. So if you're looking at the regional integration, the deepening of regional integration and deepening of international integration, there are then certain set of skills, set of knowledge that are needed to help financial institutions in Malaysia, including the fintech players, to gain more business from the region, from outside Malaysia. So things like the skills in understanding local markets, the skills in understanding preferences, consumer preferences in different areas, different parts of the region, for example, and the skills that are necessary to interact business to business, interact with businesses in different parts of the region. Those kind of skills will be quite necessary. In addition, of course, to the technological skills. We know, of course, in some Malaysia, we are ahead perhaps from some of the other countries in the region in some aspects. But of course, with everything else in the world, everything else in life, we're probably a bit behind in some other parts of the knowledge in technology and so on too. What is important, I feel, is as an industry, we do need to continuously enhance our competencies. In terms of training, we do need to continuously enhance our training programs, and FAA is working on that with all the institutions.
Mm. But it's also the speed of things as well, right? I mean, we got to continue on this journey, but everyone else is also continuing on this journey. How do we speed things up for us to leapfrog into at least becoming closer to where probably regions like Singapore or Australia are in the fintech space?
Okay, so for in terms of digital economy in general, there are Banegara actually came up with a report which was published earlier this year, which was actually part of the annual report issued by Banegara, looking at Malaysia's digital future and the policy responses that are needed in that. There was some study that was done by World Bank, for example, and other global institutions in looking at the digital adoption, looking at the digital infrastructure of all countries in the world. We are in a cluster that is called adopter, which is behind the cluster that is called frontrunners. Right? That report by Banegara has highlighted a few factors, a few considerations that we really need to take into account in order for us to progress from being an adopter to a frontrunner. One of the things that was mentioned is actually fast, affordable broadband. In terms of broadband speed, for example, Malaysia, our speed is, compared with other sort of adopter countries, the broadband speed is probably a bit slow. Affordability of broadband, we are quite there, but not speed of broadband. So maybe that is something that we need to bear in mind. But in terms of talent in particular, we do need to have more talent in STEM, STEM subjects. Looking at the data that has been published by Ministry of Higher Education and other statistic departments of Malaysia and other institutions like that, when we're probably not producing enough STEM graduates that can support our progress to the front runner. We do have enough, perhaps, arts and social sciences, finance graduates, and so on. What is important then is to make sure that knowledge in technology is embedded, perhaps, into the arts and social sciences academic programs that we have in the universities. But for the banks, for the industry training, it is quite apparent too that even if, for example, there's a training program on risk management, right? The training program on risk management will need to have some coverage on how technology can help risk management or what sort of risk relating to technology that needs to be managed, for example. We have the report also mentioned that we do, in Malaysia, we do use a lot of internet, we do use a lot of mobile applications and so on, but we probably... We do a lot of music downloads. We do a lot of movies downloads, and we use internet for WhatsApp and things like that. But we probably do not have. We do not use enough. We have not really made use of internet enough to develop content. As a country, we probably have not developed a lot of. Apps locally, and the industry that develop apps, for example, mobile apps, and develop digital content. We need to do more of that. We have not really done that much, I suppose. We have not done as much as we want to.
We're heavy consumers.
We're heavy consumers, but we have not
creators.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know. We need to keep produce talents. We need to continue to make use of internet a lot more, and all that I suppose means too that we do need to have fast and affordable broadband. But let me go back again to that talent transformation. We do. As a country, need that talent transformation to thrive in the digital economy.
I've been speaking to Khairul Nizam, the CEO of Finance Accreditation Agency, or FAA. And if you've missed any parts of this show, you can download the podcast. It's available on the BFM website and the BFM app. It's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.